Good morning. If I haven't introduced myself to you yet, my name is Rebecca, and I'm the new Associate for Youth and Young Adults here at Redeemer. I am so glad to be with you this morning, and I very much look forward to meeting you in real time sometime in the future. For me, joining a new community means I have the opportunity to learn some new stories. Each community has its own. Maybe you can think of some of yours. Stories about the RYG musical, about a baptism or a confirmation, about an experience with Build, or about the physical building and grounds here at Redeemer. Stories can help us remember who we are and where we have come from, and they can also direct us where we are going. As I get to know more and more of the parish, I'm slowly beginning to learn some of these stories, and I'm grateful that you're sharing them with me. Our faith is full of stories too. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, once wrote that God speaks to us by telling us stories. These stories aren't always straightforward. Think of the parables that Jesus tells, and the struggles of the disciples, and sometimes our own struggles, to understand what Jesus means. And this is true of the stories we tell today. There are layers to them that it can take time, sometimes lifetimes, to unpack. And like the stories we tell one another, the stories we read in the Bible are told by human beings, like our gospel writers, who no matter what divine inspiration they received, were still holding onto their own human agendas and biases as they wrote. These are our stories, though, the stories of our faith, through which God speaks to us. These are stories we have to digest, as Williams writes, to allow them to work on us. And when that has happened, we have to decide what has changed as a result of hearing the story. This morning's gospel story is a story that I have been digesting all week. Jesus, having left Gennesaret, where he had healed people, argued with religious leaders from Jerusalem, and, as so often happens, confused the disciples, leaves for the district of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon were Gentile territory, so perhaps it is not surprising that the woman who approaches Jesus is a Canaanite, not an Israelite. "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David," she shouts. "My daughter is tormented by a demon." Jesus says nothing. The disciples, seemingly uncomfortable with the encounter, approach Jesus and say, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus says, whether to the Canaanite woman or to the disciples, it's unclear, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." But the woman persists, "Lord, help me." Jesus answers her, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she says, "yet even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table." And Jesus makes his final reply, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." Her daughter, Matthew writes, was healed instantly. When I first read Jesus' words to the Canaanite woman, they stung. He is calling the Canaanite woman who asks for his help a dog, which to me ignores God's words that Isaiah reports, to maintain justice and do what is right. This can't be justice, I thought. Treating her with such disrespect certainly doesn't feel right. But under the surface of that comment, Of the initial story that I hear, I wonder if there is something else happening. If there is a different story being told than the one my 21st century mind understands. Without ignoring the dynamics of power and gender that are present, for the Canaanite woman is doubly marginalized in the context of Matthew's story, by her gender and by her religious identity. It's not an accident that she is a vulnerable figure. And without ignoring how those dynamics might inform our actions today, I wonder, can we allow the story to work on us? Can we digest it and understand how we might be changed from this particular exchange with God? Jesus has been sent, Matthew writes, to the lost sheep of Israel. His incarnation is part of God's ongoing journey with the people of Israel, the same journey that Isaiah and the rest of the prophets were a part of. And even though it may make me, reading Matthew today, uncomfortable to hear Jesus being so seemingly exclusive and frankly rude to a woman who is asking for help for her daughter, I would be missing the larger context of God's story with the people of Israel if I did not keep in mind that they are the people to whom Jesus was sent. They are God's beloved. They are God's chosen people. It is to the people of Israel that Jesus has been sent, and his mission is part of God's ongoing story with them. And Israel's identity as God's chosen people does not prevent the love of God from drawing others to God and enfolding them in that love, especially the vulnerable and the marginalized. And it does not prevent Jesus showing mercy and commending the faith of a woman who has no obligation or reason beyond the conviction of her faith to proclaim him as her Lord, but who does, and does so in the face of his initial rejection. Her faith is the hinge around which the story moves. It is her faith in Jesus as Lord that invites his action, no matter that she is Canaanite and a woman. Matthew's story seems to echo Isaiah's words, that the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. The Canaanite woman joins herself to the Lord with her persistent faith, and Jesus extends God's gracious, merciful, and abundant love to someone who did not begin as a member of God's people, but who is adopted, just like we are in our baptisms, into God's household as a child of God. After taking some time to digest this story, to let it work on me rather than insisting that I must work on it, I find myself changed. This story is a reminder of our own adoption as children of God through Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Of the way that God shows abundant love for us that we can never earn but nonetheless receive, and how God cares especially for those that society deems unworthy of respect. This story is a reminder of our call to invite and welcome others in the same way, though I pray we do so with kindness and without name-calling, even when we consider them to be outside the boundaries of who we think belongs in God's family. In this story, we remember our adoption, and that there is grace and love for all who may follow. May it be a story that directs us into the future that we live out together. Amen.